All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How's it going today? Who's having a good conference? Raise your hand. Who's happy they came to conference? Raise your hand. That's great. This morning, I want to talk about the topic of choices. We all make choices today. Some of you decide to wake up with a good attitude. Some of you maybe decided that you needed a little bit of help from your parents to have a good attitude. Some people chose to come to conference. Some people got dragged by their husbands or their parents to conference. But hopefully everyone here is happy to be here. I hope we're all happy to be here. So I want to talk today about choices. My name is E.T. You can say Mr. E.T. If you have a question, you can raise your hand. I'm from New Jersey. And I know a lot of New Jersey people are here, so this is almost like preaching to a New Jersey Sunday school class with a couple visitors, but that's okay too. We're glad to have everyone here. And we're going to start off to make sure we're all awake and we're all ready to go. Okay? So we're going to do something that we call it hands up, hands down. Okay? So everybody, hands up. Hands up. All right. Hands up, hands down. Hands up, hands down. Clap once. Clap twice. Hands up. Hands down. Faster. Hands up. Hands down. Hands up. Hands down. Clap once. Clap twice. Hands up. Hands down. All right. And if you're not sitting in the front row, if you're a kid, or even if you're not a kid and still want to get in on the fun, you can come in the front row too. There's plenty of room. If there's any kids in the back that maybe are a little shy, it's okay. Come on in front. We're going to have a great time. I have things to talk about. We have a story. We need some help. So there's plenty of room. But we'll start off by singing. And maybe as we sing, if you're still a bit shy, you want to come up, that's okay too. So we're going to sing from this let's sing about Jesus hymn sheet. Everybody has a hymn sheet here? Raise your hymn sheet in the air. If you don't have one, we'll get one for you. All right, everybody has one? Perfect. Okay, who's going to start? Who wants to go with the first song? Raise your hand. Yeah, you. What number? 15? Okay, 15. Now, starting songs is not really my strong point, so maybe a brother could help me make sure we're on the right key. Number 15.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. God has made a way to heaven. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Through the blood of his dear son. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I may enter heaven's gate. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. By his grace, and so may you. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I may make the Savior mine. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. He has said, come unto me. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jesus died for sinful men. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Tell the story o'er and o'er.
Okay, so we're going to also, before we sing and go through the story I have planned for today, we're going to ask the Lord for his help, right? We're going to ask him to give us a clear message, and that many kids are, everyone's listening here today. So let's close our eyes and ask the Lord for his help. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time we have this morning, for all the kids that are here. We pray that they would all be listening. Pray that as I speak to them, that it would be a clear message, and that no one would leave without clearly understanding the way of salvation. Thank you for this time. We pray for a blessing. In thy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. My wife tells me sometimes I talk too fast. So if I talk too fast, someone has to just raise their hand and say, just slow down. I'm French. I'm sorry. I can't fix that. So I'll do my best. Okay? But now it's time for a girl to give out the first song. So it's time for a young boy to give out the next song. Yeah. What song do you want?
Eight A.
8A.
Wild Little Donkey. Okay, well, I guess we could do the first line in the chorus, I guess. There once was a wild little donkey. He had to be tied to a tree. And Jesus was thinking about him. He said, go and bring him to me. And when they had brought him to Jesus, as quickly as ever they could, that restless, that wild little donkey was quiet, obedient, and good. Jesus was riding up on him. He went just the way that he should. A quiet, submissive, wee donkey, made so by the blessed Son of God. And Jesus is able to make you whatever he wants you to be. Loves you and longs to forgive you and make you both happy and free.
Does anybody have a birthday today? Any birthdays today? No, it's not your birthday. No. Okay. Anyone have a birthday tomorrow? Or the day before? No? Okay. That's okay, too. So, anyone else have a song? How about from this side of the room? Yes, Lori. What number? Number 12? Okay, number 12. Talk a little bit about, what did I say I was going to talk about? Who remembers? It starts with a C. Yeah. Choices, yeah. Now, who made a choice this morning? You? Yeah. Now, we all made a choice in the breakfast line this morning. Did someone make a choice? Did someone choose eggs versus sausage versus a muffin? Those are all choices we make, right? Did you choose? You had breakfast this morning? Yeah, you did. We all had breakfast, right? We all chose different things. Now, there's few things in life that take more time to be chosen than when we go to an ice cream store. Apparently in New Jersey, everyone likes ice cream. And picking out the type of ice cream we want. Now, who has a favorite ice cream type? What kind of ice cream do you like? Chocolate chip? What kind do you like? Mint? Mint chocolate chip? Yeah. How about you, Catherine? You like ice cream? What do you like?
I like ice cream.
You like ice cream? Yeah. What kind of ice cream do you like? Yeah.
I like
Caramel. Ooh, caramel. That's pretty good. Yeah. So when my kids are at the ice cream place, yeah, what kind do you like? What's that? Bubble gum? Yeah. So sometimes the kids are at the ice cream store and they're looking at the window and their faces are in the window and they're looking to choose. And sometimes they all have different choices, and then one person has one type, and all of a sudden everyone changes because they want to be like that person. So they make choices, right? And these are choices that we make. It's harmless. If you have Rocky Road or vanilla or chocolate, there's no wrong answer. They're all really good. But we're going to talk this morning about people that had to make choices that had a very, very important impact on their family. And this morning, the choices that you make regarding God, regarding Jesus, can have eternal consequences. It can be something that you have to do for yourself. In gospel last night, I believe our brother mentioned that none of us are God's grandchildren. We are God's children, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we're going to sing a few more songs, and we're going to go back to the topic of choices, okay? So who else has a song they want to give out this morning? Yeah.
Number 20.
Number 20? Why Wide Is the Ocean? Yeah. I have a hard time sitting down for that song. You think you can help me stand up and help me with the hand gestures? Can you help me? Can you help me? Maybe Jackie can help me too? Who else wants to help? Why don't we all stand up? Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up and sing Why Wide Is the Ocean, okay? Okay. Let's sing it twice.
Wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep as the deepest sea, is my Savior's love. I look so unworthy, still am a child of
good. If you missed your coffee this morning, you're awake now. That's great. Anybody else have a sign they want to give out? Yeah, what number? Number five. Number five? Number five.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. To that world above.
might need some help to read some verses this morning. So if someone's sitting in the front row or the second row and wants to help me out, you have any volunteers? Raise your hand if you feel confident to read a verse if I need some help. Raise your hand. I've got plenty of volunteers here. Great. Can you help me out, Jack, if I need help? Perfect. Okay. I want to sing number 10. Number 10. Jesus loves me, this I know. So we're going to do something a little special. Whenever we're going to sing this song, on the chorus, it says, yes, Jesus loves me. And when we say the word me, instead of saying the word me, we're going to point to ourselves and say something. Okay? So we'll sing, yes, Jesus loves. And be careful, because it's tricky. The last line, it says, the Bible tells me so. So you got to make sure you don't get fooled on the fourth line of that verse. We'll only do it on the choruses, though, okay? Who's ready for that? Anyone need more instructions? Or we're good? We're good? Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
To get it yet. It's okay. Maybe next conference we'll get it. Okay. So if I don't lose my voice, we'll be okay. So I want to talk about choices, as we talked about. And I want us to go back in our minds. We're going to go back to the time when the people of Israel were in the land of Egypt. They were slaves there. And God raised up someone to help them get out of there. Who knows what the guy's name was? Yeah. Moses. And he had a brother named Aaron. And God used Moses. And in front of Pharaoh, there was how many plagues in Egypt? 10 plagues. I want to talk about the last plague. The last plague in Egypt. So, just to give you a little background on the story, God had shown to Moses that he was to lead the people of Israel, and he had gone through these 9 different plagues with Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and showed him how strong God was, how powerful God was, and how he was telling Pharaoh to listen to God. But what was wrong with Pharaoh? He had a problem. What was Pharaoh always doing? What was he doing? hardening his heart. Yeah.
Slaves. That's right. He was making people slaves. And he was, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Who can do a hardened heart face? Can you do a hardened heart face?
No.
No? How about you? Can you do a hardened heart face? If you had a hardened heart, how would you act? Would you be happy or grumpy, you think? Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not doing it. So, Pharaoh was like, I'm not letting those people go. They're my slaves. I don't want them to go. So Moses had tried and tried to convince them that they had to obey God because God had said, let my people go. And he was not obeying. And so in chapter 12 of Exodus, we're going to learn about the last plague. And in that plague, so God is going to take, speaking to the congregation of Israel, saying, every household had to have a lamb. And that lamb was going to be used to help, to prove something. And every family had to make a choice. Are they going to obey what God says or not? We see here Pharaoh said he was going to obey God, and he changed his mind, right? He kept hardening his heart, changing his mind, back and forth. Not good. And just like Pharaoh, I hope no one in this room is halting between two choices. Kind of saying they're going to do something and then not doing it, regards to salvation. Sometimes we go to a Bible conference, we listen to a message, and maybe in your family reading, you feel really like, oh, I really have to accept Jesus as my Savior, but then you're like, oh, I want to play with my friends and get distracted. But the Lord Jesus doesn't want you to harden your heart against Him. Now, who would want you to harden your heart against Jesus? Who would want you to harden your heart? Yeah. Satan. Mm-hmm. So, question. Where's Satan today? In this world? Yeah? You think he could be here at this camp? Possibly, or maybe his demons? He's the prince of the power of the air. He's there to influence. And I've seen this in India and in Africa. I've seen it even in preaching the gospel to kids in my own family. When it comes time to talk about the gospel, suddenly people get distracted, or a cow walks into the meeting room, or someone honks, or a chicken runs around, and kids get distracted, or some kids start fighting. It's like, well, why is it that every time we're talking about the very important part of the gospel, someone gets distracted? I think it's the enemy trying to distract voices. So today, hands up. Hands up, hands up. Hands up, hands down. Hands up, hands down. Clap once, clap twice. Hands up, hands down. Good. We're all listening. All right, let's try to stay focused. Okay, so we're going to go in the story here. So in the book of Exodus chapter 12, God is telling his people, you have to get together. I have a specific instruction for you. You have to listen to me. And we're going to pretend that we're all part of the same family. Tonight, it's a big, big house. We'll call this a big household. What should our family name be? What's an idea? What would be a good biblical Israeli name? You have any ideas? Cohen, is that a good name? Cohen's pretty Jewish. All right, we're the house of Cohen. Okay, we're the house of Cohen here. And I'm going to be the head of the house for sake of argument. And we're all part of this family. And we've heard the voice of Moses, who's told us what we have to do. We have to take a lamb. And take that lamb, and we have to
do a bunch of things, and we're going to get to it. So I have here... Moo. Moo. Oh, sorry, wrong one. Is this a lamb? Oh, no, raw. Is this a lamb? Aww. Yeah. This is Lammy. This is my daughter's favorite lamb. And during this time in the people of Israel's day, I'm sure they had animals too that they loved. And God had specific instructions. He said, this lamb, you can't just take it, like go in the market and just take any random lamb or take the one that you don't like. Take the one that's all, you know, wounded or crippled. You have to take your best lamb. And so we're going to read in chapter 12 of Exodus. Verse 3. Could you help me, Jack? Could you read verse 3 of chapter 12? Exodus 12, verse 3. Okay, Evangeline, can you read verse 4? Okay. Can you read verse 5 for me? Okay, thank you. You want to read a verse too? No, okay. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So, they had a very specific instruction. God had given them instructions before, or he had told them many things, but here specifically with these plagues... The people of Israel had not been affected by the plagues. When there was darkness in the land of Egypt, was there darkness where they lived? Where the Israelites lived? There was light there. They weren't affected by all these horrible plagues because they were God's people. But now they're being told to do something very specific. They're told to take a lamb. Now, did that lamb do anything bad? No. Now, is a lamb a violent animal? No. I went for a run yesterday, and a dog started chasing me. If that was a lamb, I wouldn't be really worried. Dog, a little more worried. Because a lamb is innocent. A lamb is not going to hurt anyone. A lamb is it's a soft, kind animal. And they were to take that lamb. So... this little lamb had to be taken, a perfect lamb, maybe even their favorite lamb. And this lamb has no blemishes. He's perfect. A perfect little innocent lamb. And they have to watch it for all those days to make sure there's nothing wrong with it. And then, it was very sad, I'm sure. I'm getting sad just thinking about it. You know? They have to take that lamb and sacrifice it. Now, you know, some of us here, maybe who are farmers, you can think that it wasn't that hard. You know, we have a lot of animals. But imagine if that was your family's pet, right? But you knew that you had to obey God. God had said, we have to do it. And if we don't do it, there's going to be a consequence. And if I can tie this in with the gospel... God took the very best thing he can give in his son, the Lord Jesus, and he offered him for you. So if this lamb gets offered, all of us are going to be safe. Would that be a hard choice? We love this little lamb. He's not done anything wrong. But they have to take him. And they have to kill that lamb. Because God said it. And so that lamb gave its life. Or it was sacrificed. And was that the only thing they had to do? What else did they have to do? Put the blood on the door. So they had to take the blood. So I need some volunteers. Who can help me? You want to help me? Okay, I need 3 volunteers. 1 volunteer from here. You want to help me? Okay. 2, and who can help me here? Yeah, you want to help me? Okay, we have to... All right, this is the room that we're going to be in. And what did... Wait, I should forget before I have to know where to... We have to put the blood somewhere. Where are we going to put the blood? Where's the blood going to go? In the bowl? No, where? On the door? Oh, okay. Well, come on here. I need help. Who's going to help me? Come. And you going to help me? Okay, come here. Okay, so this is going to signify the blood. Okay, can you put it on the side of the door? Oh, here, right here. Put it here so we can all see it, right? Put it right here. Okay, you're going to put it on that side of the door? Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you. You can have a seat. Okay. And so we have that blood up there. Now, maybe if you're in the family of Cohen, you're like, I don't understand what happened. We just took the family pet, the animal we all loved, we killed it, we took his blood, made our house dirty. Why do we do this? Why do we have to do this? Because I don't understand. And now we're going to eat this lamb. What? But God had said it. And if God said it, are we supposed to believe it? Yeah. If God says it, we believe it. And because what was going to happen that night at midnight? Midnight after curfew. What was going to happen? Okay. What do you think? You know what happened? That's right. The angel of the Lord. Yeah. What was going to happen to the angel of the Lord? Do you know what was going to happen? He was going to every house. And what was he looking for? What was he looking for? Okay, yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. He was looking to see if there was blood on the sides. Now, because there was a consequence for those who would not listen. Verse 12. Actually, yes, I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So, there was going to be a judgment. He was going to pass through Egypt. And the firstborns were going to be affected if they didn't have the blood on the door. Raise your hand if you're a firstborn in the family. Who's a firstborn? Firstborn? Yeah, you're a firstborn? Yeah. Firstborn? I'm a firstborn, yeah. I have a twin brother. He's 1 minute younger than me. So he would have been safe, and I would have been in a problem, right? And so we have the blood on the house of Cohen. But on the house of Ra next door, our Egyptian neighbors, is there any blood there? No blood. You know why? They said, look, we're not going to start killing our pets, putting blood on, eating them. No, we're going to... I don't think this God of theirs is going to actually do anything. So they said, you know what? We're not going to put up our blood. No, we're not going to do that because that's a silly thing. That doesn't make sense. We're not going to do it because we don't think that is necessary. But God had said it, and God had told Moses specifically, you have to do it. And so our house was a safe place to be. The blood was there. The blood was there. It was safe. And maybe even we'd go to our neighbors, the Ra's, and say, hey, guys, we have room in our house. God said it. A judgment is coming. A judgment is coming. There's going to be a problem if you don't accept what God says. And so, you know, it says that a mixed multitude left Egypt later. So I'm sure some people believed. There were some people maybe who did believe in what Moses said, but majority of them did not. And that night, God struck the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon, to the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose in the night, and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not one house where there was not one dead. So imagine if every single home had one dead person or dead animal or something. Wouldn't that be sad? Oh, it'd be terrible. But it was a judgment of God. God had said, you put that blood on, you'll be safe. You put that blood up on your door, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So now it's morning now. We just went through that terrible night. We heard all the wails at night. The house of Ra, their son is dead. Their firstborn is dead. But here, are we okay? Jack, are you alive? Oh yeah, you're alive. Lori, you're alive? Bob, you're alive? Oh good, phew.
I'm alive.
Yeah. Oh, we were under the cover of the blood. We were protected. Why? Because we obeyed what God said. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. In the New Testament, Jesus was walking towards John the Baptist, and John sees Jesus, and what does he say? Who knows what John said about Jesus? He said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So just like that lamb was sacrificed all those years ago, it's pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus who came. He came as a sin offering for your sins and my sins. And we talked this morning about making a choice. The house of Cohen, we made a choice to be in the house. The blood was there. If you said, well, I'm going to leave the house and go somewhere else or go in the house of Ra, would you have been in a good place if you'd been in the house of Ra? No, you would have been judged. You'd been in the wrong place. You would be dead. And this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ has died and rose again. He shed his blood for us. And he says, the blood which I shed can wash away your sins. All of the bad things that you've done, every bad thought, every bad action, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. None of us can say that we're without sin. But you might say, I'm not that bad. I am just a little sinner. My sister is a real bad sinner. I am not that bad. If I took this water bottle here, good water, and I'm drinking it, and then someone comes with a little bit of poison, puts it inside, would you want to drink it? Just a little poison. Come on. You want to drink it?
No.
No. Because it's contaminated. And that's the thing, is that because of our sin, we're contaminated. You know, this shirt was perfectly clean before breakfast. I told my wife I shouldn't wear it before breakfast because something's going to happen. And yes, something happened. A little stain. It's stained. It's not perfect. But I could thankfully wash that stain out, hopefully. But if you are in your sins today, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you don't have the blood of Jesus wash away your sins, you can't just wash that out. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. We're guilty before God because of our sins. And so unless we accept what God did by giving his son Jesus at the cross, we cannot be saved. It says in the book of, I think it's Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, the family of Ra heard the message of Moses. The family of Cohen listened, and they were saved. Today, you're hearing this message today. You're understanding. You know what's going on. What are you doing about it? Are you receiving it and accepting it for yourself? Have you already done this in the past? But maybe you're holding out. Maybe you're like, I'm just not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I don't want to think about that right now. But remember, the Lord Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He wants you to accept what he has to offer you. You know, this lamb died. He was innocent. This little lamb, he didn't do anything wrong. And the Lord Jesus died for you too. He was innocent. And he was crucified. He died for you. We have a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus. And he loves you. And when he was at that cross, hanging on that cross, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of you. He says, I love that person so much. You know, we sang this morning, yes, Jesus loves. And then we all pointed to ourselves, right? Me. Yeah, Jesus loves me. And the Apostle Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If the Lord Jesus only was there on the cross, he's like, Lincoln, I love you. I love you so much, I would have died only for Lincoln. Or only for Harvey. Or only for Kiki. Or only for Silas. Only for Jack. He would have died there for you because he loved you so much. Will you accept him as your Savior? And are you under the cover of that blood? When I see the blood, I will pass over. You know, to say, I'm going to wait till I'm older. I'm going to wait till I'm finished school or until I understand the Bible more. That's a big mistake. I remember a few years ago, I was talking with one of my girls. And I asked them, I said, are you ready to accept Jesus as your Savior? And they said, no, when I'm older. I said, oh, not good. Thankfully, she's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior since then. But don't think that just because you're sitting in the front row and that you're all dressed up nicely and you know the verses, that you're going to heaven. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Savior and say, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be judged. I deserve to pay for my sins. But I accept that. Just like that lamb was sacrificed so long ago, the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross for me. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's anyone, believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it's our prayer today that you trust God's perfect sacrifice for your salvation. Now, we had a cow before, right? Moo. The cow. He was up there. Have we taken the cow and sacrificed it and put it the blood up? Would that have worked? No. He had spots on him. He's not even the right animal and he has spots on him. Sorry. Hold the cow. And sometimes people say, well, God says something in his word, but I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to try my own way to get to heaven. Maybe the Ra family in the story, maybe they said, well, we're going to put a really good lock on the door, and that angel's not going to come in. And we're going to hide in the basement. We're going to put the blankets over our heads, and we're not going to be hurt by that angel. That wouldn't have worked. The only way to be saved is to obey what God has said. This word, this Bible, is the word of God. The living, powerful word of God. We have to trust it. We believe in it. It's the only way for us to be saved. Does anyone have any questions this morning? Anyone have any questions? Because if you reject God's free gift, you will spend eternity separated from God in hell. Like, God doesn't want that. He says, I made a way. I gave my son. Just believe on him and you could have eternal life. You can go to heaven. You can have joy. And the Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. It's like a party is happening in heaven if someone accepts Christ as their Savior. I hope there's a party in heaven today. I hope there's one boy or girl, maybe sitting in the front row, maybe sitting in the back, maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times. Maybe you're an older person, and you've always said, I can't tell them now that I'm not saved. They'll think I'm a fool, or they think that I've been... Why would they... If I tell someone I'm not saved and I accept Christ, people look crazy, think I'm crazy, or think I'm weird. No. But not at all. Between you and God, you have to answer personally for God, for your relationship with Jesus Christ. See, our time is gone. Let's just close in prayer before we go, okay? Our God and Father, thank you this morning that we could have this amazing story of how that lamb was sacrificed and the family was saved. We think of how we are lost without you, Lord Jesus, and how you shed your blood on that cross for us. Thank you for all those here who have put their faith and trust in you, Lord Jesus. I pray that no one would be here that has not made that choice to accept you, Jesus, as their own personal Savior. Thank you for this time we have today. Thank you for the love that you showed to us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.